I'm really enjoying doing this reflection series. As you know, the idea of the reflection series is that I return to guests of mine from previous episodes that have gone into some kind of something new in their lives, new position, new opportunities, an award, and to be able to speak to them about how what they've been doing over this 2 years or 3 years since I last spoke with them, what was happening in their lives that led to this particular moment. And Parthena Dragut, my guest for today, was a guest very early on in my podcasting moments, episode 6. And in it, as you listen again, or perhaps for the first time to episode 6, you will hear the energy that Parthena Dragut gives to the idea of the welcome of language and cultures in students' lives and her dedication to making sure that all students are welcome. Indeed, one of the statements that Parthena made early on in podcast episode 6 was, the key question for her was, how can language come to life for learners? And she wanted that life to come about in two ways. First, she wanted to make sure that students felt that they were welcome to speak the language, to give it the try, to not try to be perfect, but to enter into the community of speakers, into the community of effort, which is really, when you come right down to it, all any of us can do every day in our native language, as well as any additional languages we may have learned or been brought up in. In addition, Parthena spoke in episode 6 about the perspectives and the importance of growing our understanding of how people think around the world, putting on new lenses. Today, we're going to have a chance to listen to Parthena's reflections on the ongoing experience of language education in the United States, yes, but also the growing need of the international experience of language learning and cultural understanding. Her new role is president of the American Association of Teachers of Spanish and Portuguese, the AATSP. In this role, she takes on the leadership of a strong team of those that have developed resources and opportunities for educators from kindergarten educators through college and adult for over 10,000 members of the AATSP. Her perspective on what she wants to continue to accomplish through the power of an organization that has such a strong impact on her personal professional life, and what it is that she sees, as is the tagline for the upcoming conference for the AATSP for the summer of 2023, the New Horizons. What is on the horizon for how we work together as human beings in a global community? This conversation is about an educator and about education processes and resources and an organization in specific. However, no matter who you are that are listening, look at your own situation. What are the new horizons that you are facing in a global community? What are the ways that your workers, your institution members, your community enters into the conversation, not perfectly, but with the language, both the vocabulary, if you will, as well as the grammar, if you will, of your own situation, such that the communication happens to open doors? And what perspective are you looking to have your workers, your members, your community, yourself have in the future? What's coming up on your horizon? Let's listen to very insightful, kind, and passionate presentation, conversation with Parthena Dragut, now president of the AATSP. And it's a great pleasure to be speaking again with my friend, colleague, and an amazing leader in the world of language education, Parthena Dragut. Hi, Parthena.
Hi, Nora. Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, it's a delight to have you. And again, congratulations on your presidency of the American Association of Teachers of Spanish and Portuguese, the AATSP, beginning in 2023. How does it feel to be now in the presidency of this organization that's played such a role in your life as a professional educator?
Well, I can tell you that it's a privilege. It is really a privilege. I served on the board once before, and it was a wonderful experience. But now I have the time to really put in to serve as president. And over the years, the AATSP, as you said, you know, has been very important to me as an educator. There were so many doors that were open, you know, for my students because of it. And I guess I feel like finally I have time to put in to really have a role that it will hopefully help other teachers to see the wonders of this great organization. I'm so excited. I'm excited for Salamanca and happy to be in this role to, I guess, represent all Spanish teachers, no matter whether they're pre-K up through graduate school. You know, I'm just happy to do what I can to make teaching Spanish and Portuguese and the cultures a wonderful experience for everybody.
Now that's a beautiful sentiment, and I know that the folks are going to be jazzed by your leadership in this regard. And you mentioned about the number of programs, aspects of this particular organization, and not all of the listeners to this podcast are in world language education. Or if they are, not all are aware of some of these associations of the different languages, including in this case, the AATSP for Spanish and Portuguese. So reflecting on what you enjoyed and what you and your students benefited from, what are some of the areas that you're like really excited now to make sure that folks that are in the AATSP and folks that maybe should be in the AATSP will know about? And again, if I might add again, those that are not familiar with professional organizations in general might realize that are available to them in their various areas of career and work.
Well, when I was, honestly, it was teaching the higher levels of Spanish at my school that inspired me to join the AATSP. I always knew it was there, but we didn't have a chapter in Ohio, which we ended up reviving after I did this, and there was a whole group of us. I certainly don't take responsibility, but there were opportunities for students, the Sociedad Honoraria Hispánica. I wanted kids to study Spanish longer, and when you have an opportunity like that, where you have an honor society, and part of that is they have to stay members, or they have to keep studying Spanish to stay members. And then there were these opportunities that we kept finding wonderful projects for the students and get them into the community and make Spanish really matter to them. Because my sociedad even taught firefighters how to speak Spanish so that the emergency medical people, so that they could help people who couldn't speak English when they got to accidents. What did that do for my students and their study of Spanish? Because I had the sociedad and I was looking for opportunities, students said, well, geez, if I study Spanish longer and I get good at this, look at what I'm doing. I'm helping these grown-ups that can't speak Spanish, these professional, you know, emergency medical technicians. I'm helping them to save a life, to ask questions, and to help these people that are in distress. That's one example. The Albricia student publication, the national Spanish exams, scholarships for students. I had students travel both from the NASAA, the national Spanish exam, and from Sociedad Honoraria Hispánica, get scholarships for college. I mean, all of this. Then I served on the board for the first time. And while I was on the board as the secondary rep, we finally started a secondary committee of the different reps for secondary ed. And then of course, Kelly Sheets joined us, who was for the Sociedad, and the, you know, we had people from different areas that were involved. And what did we do? We start thinking about how do we bridge more of a connection between our different divisions in the AATSP. And we were particularly interested in our students go on to higher ed, right? So let's establish, let's find out what are some things we have in common. Let's bridge some relationships and projects and things that we can share with higher ed. So we started this committee while I was on the board the last time. So now going back on last year as president-elect, oh my gosh, how that blossomed, because the people after me took it and just ran with it. And we have National Teach Spanish Week and National Teach Portuguese Week. And there are just so many things. And in the end, it makes all of us lift each other up in what we do in a more excited way to, in the end, affect our students and pass that love of language and culture that we have onto our students. It's unbelievable to me how much we have more focus now on pre-K or K through 6 also, or K through 8 in addition, because we have always had the Sociedad Honoraria de la Amistad, which was for middle school kids, but we're really looking at, you know, we are looking so much more at, let's get that those beginner kids. We're looking more at heritage language. I mean, we're just bringing it all together so that we are this great, wonderful professional learning committee or community of K all the way up through graduate school. I've loved the relationships that we've developed together. And I think we just see how we are intertwined, you know, enredados, as we say in Spanish. We are all interconnected because all our students are the same in the end. So let's work together. And it has been a driving force in my life. AATSP is just wonderful. And I don't know what you're going to ask me coming up, but I can't wait to tell you about Salamanca. But anyway.
Well, then why is it that you're excited to talk about Salamanca? Describe for our listeners what it is that's happening in Salamanca.
Well, we're having our 105th, I believe, conference in Salamanca. And it's our Congreso, our yearly. Last year we were in Puerto Rico. Usually we only go abroad every other year, but because of the pandemic, we had to skip the 2020 in Puerto Rico, so we went there last year. But we already, right now, as of February 1st, have 620 registrants going to Salamanca. We have something really special happening. We've just received the authorization to preview a film, Mientras Dure la Guerra, which is about the Spanish Civil War, and our attendees are going to get a chance to view that. We have all kinds of events going on before that conference starts in Salamanca, Spain, and afterward, including a symposium in Porto for Portuguese teachers or anybody who wants to learn Portuguese, but I shouldn't even say that because it's already full, you know, city tours, whatever. But why Salamanca? Salamanca is, you know, it's like, I guess I would say the Harvard of Spain. Salamanca is the learning center of Spain, and so many of our great writers and many of our members have studied in Salamanca. So it just seems to be the perfect place for academia and collegiality and growth and seeing beauty of Spain and all of that. And USAL, the Universidad de Salamanca, is offering really special courses for before and after. And it's just, and so what do teachers do? They say, oh boy, I'm going to have my summer vacation in Spain. I'm a member of the AATSP and, you know, get professional development at the same time. So it's just a wonderful, exciting thing. And I'm privileged to be president during that. And, you know, Sherry Spain Long, our amazing executive director, and Maria Carrera, our, I guess I would say in training, executive director, because she will be taking over, are just doing a wonderful job, as well as the national office. There's just so much happening.
It's so fascinating. You have so many exciting things happening there simultaneously. You've talked about an area that I know that you as a professional educator and trainer take close to heart, which is articulation, extended sequences of study for extended periods of time across levels. And you have already mentioned about beginning early language education. I'm kind of going to tap on two things: the nature of helping the educational processes like that to grow, and the role that you see for educators in general and the AATSP now, as from the perspective of your presidency, that growth, and then making it even more broad, that what it is that AATSP is demonstrating to other organizations, to businesses potentially, to institutions, that they might consider as they think about directions to go to strengthen their work and their impact in the upcoming years?
That's a loaded question, but it just has so many wonderful things within it. As you know, the AATSP, we partner with a lot of different organizations, whether it be academia, whether it be publishing, whether it be initiatives like an organization, Avant, which does assessment. You know, we partner with a lot of people, and that's all because we all have the same goal, and that goal is making our students global citizens, making our students love knowing that it isn't just one language that they can communicate and be part of this world in, but more than one language. And the cultures, these great cultures, the diversity of the world. I've always said that, you know, you look at the 21 Spanish-speaking countries, all the Portuguese-speaking countries, all the different language-speaking countries of the world, it creates this beautiful tapestry, and every stitch can show an amazing dimension of culture that it just enlightens you, and it makes you feel warm and wonderful to understand. The lenses that all of us together give our students, because our students, just like each of us, come to the table, to the classroom, to the world with their own lenses, with the way they see the world, what their experiences have been. We together are giving students so many other experiences. We're sharing them with our students because we want them to open, to broad, to be able to change those lenses and to gain an understanding of the perspectives of other lands. I've been an AP Spanish language and culture teacher for a long time. So going back to kind of the beginning of your question was about the different levels. If we can start teaching language earlier to our students, and little by little be, you know, weaving in and spiraling the learning experience, our students will start to gain that global perspective earlier and that longer sequence of instruction. So that by the time they, you know, get to these, you know, to the year that maybe they're trying to figure, well, you know, what am I going to study after this? You know, how are my language skills? How's my proficiency? They're going to see that they have the proficiency to put together with any kind of a career to make a big difference in the world. And that's the other thing that is so important about AATSP or any of the language organizations out there. We also house materials on our sites to help teachers to have the source of the resources and materials that they need, lessons to share. And we try to support those teachers by giving them scholarships to go study. It's really about our profession as a whole. Each of us is important in it. What can we do? That's why I'm still doing this, even though I'm now retired from the classroom. What can I do to help somebody else to love our profession as much as I have my entire life? Sometimes I wish I were still in the classroom. I miss it so tremendously, but I've got grandchildren. I want to be able to pick up and go see them. But that doesn't mean that I have to separate myself from still mattering and still counting and serving. And that's the way I look at it. I'm serving other teachers, hopefully, to have that love and appreciation for what we've accomplished. I mean, I look at my students who are teaching world languages, and I think that's what I want. I want every teacher to be able to feel like, look at what I passed on to you, because we love it so much. I think we as educators do not come into teaching because of money for financial gain. We come into it because we love what our own experience as students of languages and cultures or anything, or, you know, and we want to share it. That's all about sharing and, you know, sharing goals and sharing the outcome that we can rejoice and celebrate. You know, it's so joyous to see these kids love what they're communicating and learning and being able to, you know, travel to other places and appreciate what they see in differences in culture.
Thank you so much. You have brought up the perspective that you have from having been in the classroom and your writing and your training for these years and now being able to apply your energy in your quote-unquote here retirement for such a worthy cause. When you look at those that are coming into the educational enterprise as teachers, as leaders of teachers, what kind of new perspectives or new gifts or new contributions however you wish to define that, are you seeing in those that are now beginning their educational careers?
That's an excellent question. Well, for one thing, they have had more experiences than we had. I'm dating myself, old. You know, when I was studying and before I came out into the classroom, they've had the benefit of great standards, of our profession to be very united, our content area to be very united with can-do statements, standards, the modes of communication. They've had all of that. But now there's an added layer. We're thinking a lot more about social emotional learning. We're thinking a lot more of diversity and inclusion, bringing everybody in. Who has been marginalized? Who hasn't? You know, have we made learning accessible to all students? I talk about AP, for instance, have all students had the opportunity to get the kind of learning in their previous levels to really prepare them for that AP year? Well, you know, all around us, wherever we live in all the communities in this country, we know that not all students have the same accessibility to learning. We've got to make sure that we're leveling that playing field. And I think that the young people coming into the profession are much more conscious of that. It's been brought to the forefront more. And we're doing that in all these organizations. You know, in AATSP, we're making sure that we are having webinars and that we have materials and sessions, you know, that deal with all these things. We have 450 sessions and events going on in Salamanca. We're, you know, a lot of those sessions will have to do with these topics. Uh-huh. So yes, it's important, the pedagogy, the teaching, the strategies. We don't want to leave that behind. We definitely don't want to leave that behind, and because it's important. It's the essence of what we do. But we also want to make sure that we bring that essence to everybody. And I think that the younger people are able to do that. I think that they've also had the benefit of technology. You know, we all learned technology as we were teaching. I mean, there weren't even computers when I was thrown out there, you know. But they bring the benefit of, you know, of being able to deal with teaching in all different ways. We all teach online. We've taught online. I taught online during the pandemic. We know that we have this opportunity to do that, but it's also important to be in person, which is why I'm so excited about Salamanca to share. But our teachers coming out have a lot of different ways of reaching students. They know, you know, they it's no longer just about PowerPoint. They've got Canva, and then they create these funny little, wonderful little characters to get to their students. They're kind of closer to that generation of our students and who they are now. And I just think they've got this creativity that is amazing when it comes to visualizing and putting things in a visual respect for their students. They also know, they probably know that generation a little bit more in, you know, what kids might do, you know. But I just think overall, I think there's more humanity. I'm not saying we weren't, oh gosh, no, I don't mean that we didn't have that. It's just that it wasn't focused on. I think a lot has happened in the decades since I started teaching that makes the social emotional learning and the diversity inclusion come forward more and what we need to be doing about it.
Phenomenal. Thank you. Such a good insight. And the title of this organization is American Association of Teachers of Spanish and Portuguese. Yet, as you have mentioned, the 2023 convention is being held in Salamanca, Spain, and there are folks that are from a variety of Spanish-speaking regions that come to this convention, I know. So for a moment, speak about that growth that I believe is in its infancy. We talk about international Englishes, for example, and there are international Spanishes as well. What kind of role does AATSP have, both within and out, that helps to connect these various international Spanishes? And what are some of the potential outcomes and impact from acknowledging that there are many different types of Spanish?
Outstanding. Well, one thing for sure, I mean, we know there are 21 Spanish-speaking communities in the world, right? And we know that we have, you know, Portugal, Brazil, and many other Portuguese-speaking places in the world. We are recognizing more than ever, you know, there was a time, you may remember it, when we were first teaching, I was teaching in the 70s, 80s, 90s, when we looked at things like, I remember this dirty word, Spanglés. You know, Spanglish was bad. You couldn't have a mixture. You can't have an English words in there. my goodness, even many of our heritage speakers now have Spanglés because they're Spanish from whatever culture they originally, their families came from, has had influences of English. And it might not be unusual to hear a student use a word that maybe isn't standard Spanish. So what, right? Because the important thing is that there's communication going on. If that is what is recognized by that student and his household, we certainly, it is not our place to doubt, to criticize it or not accept it. On the other hand, sure, we can also share with the students, well, these are some other ways, you know, there's more of a standard way of communicating that is acceptable in, you know, more places in the world, but we aren't, no estamos despreciando, we're not showing an unappreciation, is that a word, unappreciation, I don't know, for your Spanish. That's important to know. Trans-languaging is something very acceptable nowadays. You know, our title of our conference is Nuevos Horizontes para la Comunicación y la Cultura, New Horizons for Communication and Culture. We need to recognize these new horizons. We need to realize there, you know, there was a time, you know, when probably when I first graduated, where it was the Spanish of Spain that dominated. There was a time when the Spanish of Spain on the AP exam, if they used voce or something, maybe it wouldn't have been acceptable. We accept everything now. Anything that is your way of communicating and you're from that culture, that is, we need to recognize and not criticize that. Is there still a right or wrong when it comes to grammar and vocabulary, that kind of thing? Well, you know, yeah, we want things to be as correct as possible, but not to the degree that we say, that is not right, that word is not recognized, not a part of the Real Academia or whatever the case may be, you know, dictionary. No, we are much more inclusive of language, of different kinds of Spanish, pronunciations, registers, vocabularies. We want to see also in materials that students use, we should be seeing all the Spanish-speaking world, people that look like they are from all the different countries. It's very important, just like in our classroom. Our classrooms are very diverse. Our materials, whatever we bring into our class, need to be diverse as well. And AATSP stands behind that. Any kind of, the important thing is that we're valuing every individual for his or her Spanish, for their Spanish, and making sure that wherever they come from, that they are never feeling that they aren't saying something right. Bring that to the classroom, share it with the students. Let's talk about that because, once again, it's part of a rich diversity of the Spanish and Portuguese speaking worlds to bring those differences in our languages to light in the classroom. I would want my students to know all these different ways to say something, what is acceptable in all these different cultures. There isn't one way. I mean, as an English speaker, I remember when I first heard the term lift, I thought, what is that? You know, oh, it's an elevator. Oh, that's great. That's another way of saying it. Language is so diverse and it's growing and living and breathing, and how wonderful to see all sides of it. And AATSP has been doing quite a bit to recognize that, including position papers, you know, like I said, webinars, especially when it comes to heritage, dual language, all we want our students to have all of it. We do not want our students to see one-sided Spanish or Portuguese.
What kind of promises and challenges does this bring in a classroom situation? What does AATSP do, clearly providing sessions and apparently webinars, resources, if I may assume? What are some of the ways that AATSP is going to be helping? Because this multiplicity of approaches then, I'm sure, sounds like anyway, is a brand new challenge for many people that are in classrooms.
And there are going to always be some teachers that have a hard time with it. I'll be honest, I probably did at first because I was taught a very special. I remember when I stopped seeing articles used with countries like El Peru or you know, La Argentina. There were countries that I always learned this article. I don't hear that used anymore. I'll adjust to that. You know, accent marks, missing off words, whatever. We just need to adjust. We need to be thinking about our students. We need to be thinking of giving them really the tools they're going to need to be able to fit in wherever they go in the world. And that isn't going to be just the Spanish of, you know, Argentina or Mexico or España or La República Dominicana or the Portuguese of Portugal versus Brazil. It's all together. And, you know, Maria Carrera, who is our incoming, will be taking over for Sherry when Sherry retires in I guess, July 1st. I remember her giving her keynote in Puerto Rico at the AATS Peak Conference last summer, one thing that I really appreciated, and it stuck with me, and I found her tactful to tell her how important this was, how it impacted me, was let's stop labeling each other what kind of speaker you are. You're a native speaker. You're not a native speaker. You're a heritage speaker. We're all Spanish speakers. We are all Spanish speakers. I'm a non-native speaker. I'm sure there are many people who have heard my accent and they say, oh, she has an American accent when she speaks Spanish. I can't get rid of that anymore than get rid of their accent when they speak English in the United States. That doesn't mean that I can't speak Spanish. I just speak it a little differently. And I love that Maria Carrera said that. It kind of was a very unifying thing to think we are all speakers of, whether it's Spanish, Portuguese, French, whatever. We are speaking it. We're communicating it. As long as somebody is understanding it, that's wonderful. Of course, I want to backtrack a little bit, you know, because we have things like high stakes exams, like AP exams, for instance, where we want our students to have everything as correct as possible. There is a standard of grammar and that kind of thing, you know, but not the standard of Spanish. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? The words, what is acceptable. But what I was going to say about that is if you look at how AP exams were graded years ago, we even had, you know, error correction and fill in the blanks. And if one letter was off in a verb, oh my gosh, wrong. You know, none of that exists anymore. It's about communication. It's the message. If there's interference, the message isn't being understood. Well, sure, then we're going to, you know, look at that scoring guideline, take something off. What I'm trying to say is it's about communication. Communication and culture, it's all about that. And that's where we need to put our focus, on communication and culture, and accept the diversity that can take place in many different ways. And I think that that is harder for older teachers, maybe. Maybe it's harder for teachers who come from a particular culture where they think this is the only way to say something. But that's not the message that we're giving at the AATSP, and certainly not the message I'm sure is being given in university classrooms or in our secondary classrooms, even, or in our lower level classrooms, in our classrooms nowadays. It's all about, wow, this is the way you say it, how interesting that is, and how wonderful that is that now I know that word as well.
Sounds like when those that are in the classrooms now that are experiencing that welcome, that diversity message, when they go out into the world, their expectation of diversity and their acceptance of diversity, and I do mean from a linguistic point of view as well as from a cultural point of view, will be enhanced such that their definition of communication will have gone in the direction that you have just stated. If we can communicate, it's by definition good communication. What kind of impact will that have, do you think, on education in general? Not only education in the classroom of language learners, but in education and the way that the upcoming generations of adults might think.
Well, I like to think have it be, in my way of thinking, and I guess my vision would be, it's life. We will be better participants in life when we can communicate and recognize that, you know, we can communicate with more people and we can honor more people and honor their diversity, honor where they're from and the languages that they speak. I come from a diverse background myself. Half of me is Greek and half of me is Lebanese. And I grew up hearing both of those languages. And for me, I know I've said this to you before when we've spoken, Nora, languages are not foreign. Languages were just a way to communicate, which I think is why I loved it. As you know, I have a master's degree in French and Spanish, pedagogy and applied linguistics, but all languages just were communication to me. And how wonderful it's been in my life when I've been able to communicate with more people wherever I've gone. And I have to say, when I have been able to communicate, when I went to China or Russia and I was a bit challenged, that was hard for me. You know, it's like, wait a minute, I want to be able to jump into this conversation. I could certainly appreciate the culture, but I honestly couldn't communicate. And I didn't like the way that felt. I want our students to have that comfort of being able to communicate. And even if they can't say a whole bunch, go to the different parts of the world and be part of the culture and the people and their products and their practices and celebrations. And in the end, to gain that perspective of who they are. I might not have that same perspective, but I can certainly look at them and how they think about different things and read, you know, in their newspapers or look at their TV or experience their traditions and their customs and celebrations. And I can appreciate it and honor it and respect it. It's a language communication and understanding of culture and interculturality to me is all about respecting. Respecting the diversity of who we are, what we each bring to the table, and what we share that is the same and is different, because we share with each other our differences too, that helps one another grow. And to me, that's what it's all about. And our students coming out of the classroom today, having these new perspectives enhanced more in the classroom and acceptances and making sure that we bring everybody in and nobody is marginalized and finding a way to make every student count and know his or her importance, they'll take that away with them and feel the same way about the world and everybody that they meet in life, that everybody counts, everybody's important. And I can't think of anything more important than that.
That's succinctly and beautifully put. And when I look at the title of the upcoming conference in Salamanca 2023, New Horizons, you've talked a lot here beautifully about the dawn that's coming over so many classrooms, so many lives of educators, and certainly the lives of students. What else is across that horizon for our young people and for the role of AATSP and language educators? What's not yet peeking over that horizon that's going to happen next?
We need to grow more educators, more world language and culture educators. There's a great need. And my call would be, and this is something that I'm hoping to be able to bring out more this year in as I'm president of AATSP, let's start in our classrooms. Let's look at our students that show a promise, think they might like to be a teacher, and let's hold their hands and take them. Let's take them to a conference. When I lived in Ohio, I took students to the OFLA conference that wanted to be teachers. Let's do that more. Let's show them what we love about it and share that love and hopefully grow some teachers, because we need more teachers of world languages. I think world languages are more important now than ever. And I believe there is no better time than right now to be a world language educator. There is no better time. As I mentioned before, we have standards. We have things that tie us together. We have like practices that, you know, we're looking at vertical alignment. We think about it as a sequence of instruction. We look at it helping students to grow their proficiency and go up the ACFL proficiency scale and that interculturality. I mean, we've got all this that ties us together at whatever level we teach. There is no better time. Let's share some of that beauty with our students. Why have we loved being educators? I know ACFL has the Lead with Languages initiative. I would like to think that all of us in our own classrooms could be ambassadors for that. Because you were saying what's next for our students. It isn't just about studying language and culture. It's thinking about ways to use what they've learned in the classroom with language and culture for the betterment of other people's lives. So they're going to take that language and culture, their growth, to whatever profession, you know, whether it's, you know, serving the community as a law enforcement person, whether it's being a teacher, whether it's being a doctor or nurse in a hospital, whether it's working in sociology, whether it's working in, babysitting children, you know, working in, being in a church. My students volunteered helping help children that were newcomers to this country with their homework, for instance. But somehow they can affect other people's lives if they can communicate with everybody. And that's what I would like to see. But we need many more teachers teaching language and culture, or teachers in general out there that care about kids, helping make students' lives positive so that when they leave school, they can pass that positive feeling and what they've learned on to others and use it in communities to be better community members, to make a difference, to be a part of things, to feel that they really have a part to play in this great world we live in.
May that happen, indeed. Educators play the role of holding the hand of the next generation and bringing them into the light, speaking about new horizons. As we finish up today, my dear friend and colleague, Parthena, what else do you not want to have us leave today on the table on behalf of AATSP or yourself or both? What is it that you want to be sure that the listeners receive from our conversation today?
Well, I think it would be that where you've spent your life, where you've dedicated your life, where you have participated, contributed. It's funny, when you retire, it doesn't like, it's not put behind you. You find more ways, new ways to grow and to share what you love with others. I know there are people that maybe can just retire. I just can't be one of those people. But I know that, for instance, any of you that might be retirees, there's a new initiative, a new, I guess I would say SIG, special interest group in AATSP for retired educators that want to still be involved. And I'd say for mentoring possibilities, maybe tutoring, look for great things to come, because that is going to be coming. And it's something that's going to be meet for the first time in Salamanca. But I guess that I'm speaking in general, whether you're a teacher or not out there. If you love and have passion for what you've done, you can keep, you know, having that passion and have time to go play pickleball to your grandchildren, whatever. We can keep being contributing wonderful, passionate people about our careers, even when we, I'm going to say with comillas, quotation marks, we retire. Because I don't know that retirement's always there for all of us. And I don't want to ever feel that I just put it all aside, because I've worked too long, too many years, and loved it so much. And honestly, when I say work, that's facetious, because I would always look at my school building, and this is a true story, when I'd park my car and I couldn't wait to get in there. Couldn't wait to get in there and see what I could do that day. You know, what could I do? How can I inspire my students? Keep inspiring. That's what I would like to say. Keep inspiring, affecting, participating, contributing, and we're always going to be happy. You know, we're always going to be happy. And know that whatever you do, and if it is that you're happy or just sitting and reading a book, that's okay too. But know that whatever you do that makes you happy, keep doing it, whatever that is. Because that's where I am right now in my career. I'm still contributing and being a part of things because it makes me happy. I love it.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you so much for this wonderful conversation. Best wishes to you in your position as president. And I know that you're inspiring a large group of people that are engaged in the mission of AATSP. So as you continue your work right now and preparations, especially for such a powerful convention, but all the resources and all the work that goes on all the time, may you receive the warmest wishes and a lot of support. And here's hoping that folks will recognize the importance of that and other professional organizations to make things possible. Thanks again.
You're so very welcome, Nora. And thank you so much for having me today. It's been a great honor. And to all the people out there, thank you for listening.
I hope you enjoyed this podcast with guest Parthena Dragut. Do listen again to her episode 6 if you have an opportunity. And think in your own life, where are the new horizons for you? Where are the new perspectives for those that are in your sphere of influence? And how do you and those that you care about and work with enter into the conversation using the language skills that they have and that they can grow into? Until next time, take care.